It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 552 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of one of our favorite guests, and that's Jonathan Hedrick, creator of Freak Show Night, Capable, and The Recount. We get caught up on all of these projects, as well as some new ones that are coming down the pike, and that includes his latest Kickstarter for Capable number 5. The fifth issue of this fast-paced story asks, what if people with disabilities gain powers opposite of their impairment? We talk about what's going on there, as well as other projects that are coming, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. A word of warning, I developed a hiccup just before we started to record, so you might hear that a time or two during our interview. But don't let that distract you from the important stuff Jonathan's got to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's always great to check in with Jonathan Hedrick, creator of such wonderful things as The Recount, and has lots of other good books, including the latest chapter in Capable, Caffeinated Hearts, oh goodness, all kinds of good things, and we'll get to all that. Jonathan, how are you?
Great, Wayne. Thanks for having me back on again. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to talk with you. Now, you've got why don't we start right off with the important thing right now, you've got a Kickstarter going on. Why don't you talk about that one?
Yeah, so this is from the fifth installment of Capable. That's my superhero series that's set in a world where people with disabilities have mysteriously gained superpowers that are opposite of their impairment. And it focuses on our main character, Derek, who was in a wheelchair and has strangely developed super speed powers and is now, trying to grasp the complexity of life going from disabled to superpowered. So I'm really happy that it's on the fifth issue now on Kickstarter.
Is that the end of the first arc?
Nope. Actually, this is going to be a 1-7. So I already have all 7 issues written, and we even have them all penciled and inked. So we're just trying to get them colored and lettered and printed and into other people's hands.
Are you going to continue to do them on Kickstarter until the 7th one?
We'll see how this 5th one goes. The Kickstarter campaign the Kickstarter platform is, I have a love-hate relationship with it. Every time I run one of these, it's 30 days of roller coaster emotions. And the highs and lows are really, really draining. So, we'll see. There might be news of a publisher with it too. So, time will tell. I hate to be so mysterious with you, Wayne, about that. But yeah,
who's that? Well,
the Advent Comics. I signed with them. So last year I signed with Second Sight for Capable, but they restructured. And we had an agreement to void my contract with no hard feelings. And, I talked to Advent Comics and they were more than happy to bring it on board with, their publication. So I'm happy it still has a home.
They're out of Baltimore area, aren't they?
I believe so. Yeah. Tony is, in that area. Tony Cottrell, their CEO.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to see it has a home. It's been a kind of a route to get someplace to go, seems like.
Yeah, and I understand it's a sensitive book focused on, a very touchy subject with a very passionate culture that it focuses around. So I don't blame publishers to for being hesitant about it, but I knew someone would be able to be brave enough to take it on.
I'm kind of surprised by it, too, because I was involved in some of that process, and I was surprised that some people were really sort of, I don't know what it was, that they kind of felt that they had to be ultra-sensitive about it, and they were so afraid somebody would be offended, I guess is the other way to go, which surprised me. I mean, I liked it, and I thought it was very sensitive to it.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate that. And, you know, my editor, Beth Sips, she identifies as a person with disabilities. Through her, you know, I've had this ability to run it through a filter, make sure I'm not doing anything offensive or out of line or inaccurate from her point of view. Cause you know, she may identify with that culture, but not everyone in that culture might see eye to eye with everyone inside. So, but yeah, I've always found it odd that people want to handle this series with kid gloves. But then we have DC and Marvel with their Pride books and their voices, and it's like we're there's so much progress, but there's also not enough at the same time in comic books. So.
I never get it because some of the people who are the most protective of it don't have any connection to that community, and that somehow they feel they have to defend it. And I don't get that. I would let people who are in the community make that kind of decision.
That's what I would think too. No.
Nope. Oh, well. It doesn't work that way. Some people feel, I guess, they're being better if they can be protecting that community, even though they don't seem to know much about it. But oh, well.
Right. And that's why I've always tried to not pander to that community too. You know, that I don't identify, so I'm not standing on a soapbox for them. I'm telling the story from, you know, how I want to tell it with an editor that identifies. So, you know, it's for all, all cultures, in my opinion.
And I think the people today, we could use some more insight into that group, it seems to me. And I love the character. I think it was the third issue where because now he's got super speed, he still can't run on the track. Right. Team, which he wanted to do always, and now all of a sudden, because he's so he's so fast, now he can't do it because he's too fast.
Exactly. He thought, you know, being able to be on that wheelchair would solve all his problems, but it only created others.
Interesting. I thought that was so cool to see. I like things like that explore what ifs. I think those are the biggest things that we can do. Yeah. So you got up to issue number 7 in this first arc, right?
Yeah, so 1 through 7 plus a bonus side story that was already released as stretch goal reward. It was an Ashcan 10-pager. I did it as a stretch goal reward in a previous campaign. So I'm hoping when everything's all said and done, those 7 issues plus that bonus story will make for a good size, volume 1 trade. And I don't know. I haven't thought past issue 7. Maybe something's down the road, but I'd like to. It's going to end on a hard stop for Derek's story for sure.
I had a chance to see number 5. I thought we already got a hard stop in number 5.
Things don't get easier in the life of Derek. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil stuff because there's a lot that's going on, and it's really a fascinating storytelling. I'm glad you made him a person of color, as I always like to point out. I think that that's important.
Thank you.
So I think that that whole thing, that whole story is just kind of it's really sensitive to a lot of different aspects of his life, and I think that was really good.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. I was always a big fan of the character Miles Morales when he came out in the Ultimate Spider-Man line. And, I heard what Brian Michael Bendis said when he created that character and how he wanted, his kids to see more diverse characters. So, I kind of was inspired by him to, have Derek be a person of color.
Now, in this book, you had the 5th issue of the Fast-Paced Story asks, What if people with disabilities gain powers opposite of their impairment?
Right.
That's an interesting twist because we haven't seen that before. Talk about that, about where it's going in issue five.
So, you know, issue five, he's going to come face to face with the real big bad for, in this entire arc, who we got a sneak peek of at the end of Capable 4. You know, Derek's had to deal with, you know, a bank robber and, you know, bullies at school, but he's going to see this person, this character, this bad guy who's going to have this seemingly impossible superpower, and he's not doing good with it. And it's going to really shine a light on why things are the way they are in the Capable universe. It's going to answer a big question. So it was really challenging to me to write Capable because it's centered around a speedster, you know, and I always loved Flash and Quicksilver. But you know, it's hard to write a character like that without making them a one trick pony. So I think those characters have, like the Flash, have survived so long because of how great their villains are. You know, they have great rogues gallery. And so I wanted to make sure Derek had a very good super villain in this series.
It's always interesting to me because I remember when the new Teen Titans came out, they had Kid Flash in there, but because he was so fast, they couldn't seem to find challenges for him. And so eventually he ended up leaving that group.
Right.
And because they just couldn't think of things to do. And of course, that's why they canceled the Flash at one point, because they couldn't come up with villains that challenged him.
Right. Yeah. He can only slip on ice so much from Captain Cold and, you know, things like that. It's
right.
You got to really be creative.
Now, you do something in this book that I've always been interested in, and I'm curious about. He faces something of a loss, let's say, at the end of issue four.
Right.
And the way that he deals with it is something that I've seen in the African-American community before. I don't know if you ever watched Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where Sisko was the captain.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, he, in real life, Avery Brooks would always shave his head between things like that. And the beginning of issue five, if you look at the Kickstarter page, you see that he shaved his head here. And just, that seems to be something of an important rite of passage in that community. Do you want to talk about why you went that route or what happened with that?
Yeah, I was also inspired by that same you know, element from Deep Space Nine. I was grew up watching Next Generation and a decent amount of Deep Space Nine. And, you know, Derek has been through a lot, and he doesn't feel like a kid anymore. He doesn't identify as a high schooler. He's moving on. His childhood's over. So that's why he took the steps to change how he looks. And he's really struggling at the beginning of this issue, and it's not going to get easier.
Wow. Well, it's really we're going through a character that's going through quite a transition.
Yes.
And I always like character growth.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this character is really going to be somebody, a whole different character at the end than he was at the beginning.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's going to be something fun to see. Mm-hmm. Someday I hope somebody turns this into an animated cartoon or a real life thing. It would be great to see that.
I'd love to see that. But I've always thought it would look great as an animated movie. Well, ever since I saw that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse animated movie that they did a few years ago, I think they got another one coming out soon too. I thought that's a good way of doing a good comic book movie without having to be trapped in the real world, but throwing all the CGI stuff. You're not so grounded that way.
Now, I supported this Kickstarter. It's Capable number 1-5 modern superhero series. It's going to conclude when it reaches its goal by Thursday, September 22 at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the goal is $3,500, and you haven't quite got there yet, But you're making great strides through it, so I'm anxious to see that get met and see if there's stretch goals in here.
Yes, I hope so too. You know, day one we got the Project We Love stamp from Kickstarter. This is the third time a capable campaign has got that accolade from Kickstarter. So really happy with this series. I know we'll get funded. It's just a matter of time.
Well, that's the thing about Kickstarter is you have your big day at the beginning, a big day or two, or maybe, and then it goes into the doldrums for a while. And then towards the end, it picks back up again. People say, whoops, we got to do it now or never.
Yeah, that wax and wane can really pull on the heartstrings sometimes.
I don't blame you for being a little discouraged with Kickstarter sometimes because, you know, it's the old... you can't help but sit there and refresh. And right. If you go through a day and nobody's back, do you think it's over? It's not going to get anybody else where it finished.
Yep.
So you can't let that hit you though. You got to keep going and do stuff. I always run into people who tell me if you want a Kickstarter to be successful, you got to go beyond what you feel comfortable doing.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I've said something similar. You have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
That's the thing. You got to keep going out there and keep doing stuff and promoting and promoting and promoting. And as much as you like Miles Morales, I've always kind of felt like he was in the cartoons, they've always struggled with what to call him. They don't want to call him Spider-Man because he's already got Peter Parker still Spider-Man in there. And in the universe where Miles Morales originally started, he was, he became Spider-Man because Peter Parker was dead in that particular universe. But now, of course, he's on quote-unquote our universe. Mm-hmm. And they still want to call him Spider-Lad and other things like that.
Makes my eyes roll backwards when I hear that.
But I don't understand why. Of course, they turned Spider-Gwen into Ghost Spider. Uh-huh. Another great name. I don't know what to do about the naming of these spider characters. That's the problem when you get too many of them. Yeah. You got Silk, you've got all these other characters' names and stuff like that. So for me, I'd rather that they come up with something uniquely different from Spider-Man. Let's do something else because we've already done all the spider characters. We've got Venom and Carnage and you name it. There's every potential spider character out there we've got. And so I'd like to see something different.
Me too.
But, we'll see. Get too far, then they say, that's too far. We can't do that. I also, as I've told you, I think I have this thing about stuffing people of color into existing uniforms. I just think that
that's
a cheat.
A box.
I don't like that. I just
let it happen organically.
Well, that's the thing. And not only that, come up with a different name, a different. Don't have them wear a costume that's reverse colors from Spider-Man. Do them, make them be somebody else. And so for me, that's what I like. But now they're too afraid, very too far from the home base. And so they're afraid to do that. You're well on your way. I'm sure it's going to be good. And I'm anxious to see how it goes. And when September 22 comes around, hopefully a couple stretch goals are in there. And all kinds of good things are going on.
Absolutely.
I still love that logo.
Me too. Someone on Facebook, and I know I shouldn't take it to heart, but I got my first complaint about that logo today on Facebook, and I bit my tongue for as long as I could, but I had to say something back to the guy. Like, come on. I've only heard nothing but complaints. So it's funny you mentioned that today. Someone was giving me some trouble today about that. But yeah, I think it's an awesome logo.
I do too. I think it's great. It's a perfect thing. But anyway, it's got a good future, I think, and I think that this series is going to end up really well. You said you don't have anything in mind beyond number 7, but do you think you might have a story idea or two that you could continue with after 7?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to focus on a different character if it went beyond 7. Maybe, starting it back at an issue 1, but you give it a subtitle capable, chapter 2 or so, something like that. And there's something fresh because this is happening worldwide in this universe. So there's so many other people we could explore and their disabilities and the powers that they gain from that. So yeah, I think it'd be worth exploring someone else.
And this character could show up occasionally.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a good thing. Very good. Very good. So I like it again. It's Capable, number 1-5, modern superhero series. It's on Kickstarter, and it's going to be funded if it reaches its goal by Thursday, September 22 at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Goal is $3,500. We want to be sure to get that and then some to make sure we get more in the future. So looking really good on those. So let's go on to, you've got another, let's catch up a little bit first on one of your successful series. Let's talk about the recount. You had the preamble come out, and how'd that do?
I'm very happy with it. We had a ton of exclusive covers. I think last time I counted, I was at 15 or 16 different covers for that one. So that in itself told me that, you know, the retailers were excited that it was, another recount book was on the market. So I'm really happy with how that turned out. You know, it's a 36-page one-shot. It's not, the Fast and Furious violence that was in Volume 1. It explains more of the mythos of that world. And, yeah, I haven't heard any complaints. And I'm excited to see, if this around this time next year, if anyone's given it any accolades for, a one-shot for 2022 or something like that. But there's a lot of stiff competition out there. But yeah, I'm really happy with how preamble turned down. I'm glad I did instead of just jumping into Volume 2.
Speaking of which, what is Volume 2 looking like?
First script's done and in the hands of the artist. So we'll see. I haven't seen pages back yet, but once I start seeing pages for issue 1, I'll get cracking on the script for issue 2. I already have it plotted and outlined, but it is a slow process. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I really don't want to force Volume 2 for the sake of, the popularity of Volume 1.
Okay, so that's coming. So any idea when we might start to see that next year? Is that most likely?
Yeah, best estimate, maybe this time, the second half of 2023, if start getting pages back soon for issue 1.
Okay.
Ideally, it would be 4 issues again, just like issue 1 was, Volume 1. Was as well, 4 issues.
Okay. Now, you've got lots of other irons in the fire, which we need to get to and talk about. You recently had one, I think this was another Kickstarter too, was Caffeinated Hearts, right?
Yes. Yeah. My previous Kickstarter earlier in the year, we actually launched on Valentine's Day to coincide with the, romantic elements of Caffeinated Hearts. That one is got picked up by Source Point Press and is going to be on sale October 26th. It's on, is in Diamond right now for pre-order.
That's an odd time to put a romance book out right around Halloween.
Right. I think maybe they just, Source Point had an open slot that they needed to fill and it worked out that way. Sometimes, it doesn't even matter. You could have a Halloween book around Halloween time and people don't even pick it up. So, really hard to get. I've noticed with other, comic books that are themed for seasons, it just doesn't quite work as well as the movies when they get released in the theater.
Well, why don't you tell people what the story's about?
Yeah, Caffeinated Hearts is a one-shot slice of life story that takes place in this cyberpunk backdrop coffee shop, and it's 4 vignettes that are interwoven with the barista named L, who works at that coffee shop. So we see 4 different types of stories taking place in the same day. It was a lot of fun. I did it with my buddy Stefano Cardicelli, who I worked with in the past on Freak Show Night and The Space Cadet. So this is another one shot by him and I, and it's all a completely different genre like we've done before. We always do something in a different genre every time we work together.
Wow. Okay. So that's good. It's all kinds of good. It's interesting to me how you like to go into different genres. And I always think that the best writers can do that. The ones that stick to a single kind of story, I would get worried about.
Thank you. Yeah.
So let's see. So that, is that a one shot? You're not going to follow up with Caffeinated Hearts?
It's a one shot, but I'm not. I'm leaving the door open for a second one shot that could, you know. It's just not in the cards yet.
Because like the Freak franchise has its own different kinds of stories that you do every once in a while, and I got a sense that you might do that with this one too, because you've got a basic. The heroine, and you've got now, by the end, let's say, there are entanglements that come along.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would love to do more of Caffeinated Hearts. I really like that that world that Stefano created with the cyberpunk, futuristic look to it. But, you know, it's almost steampunk too. It was a lot of fun. And you know, centered around coffee. I love coffee, so. I would definitely be open for it.
See, caffeine gives me a terrible headache, so I can't drink caffeine. So for me, I'm always looking at it and going, well, that's nice. I'm sure it's good. It's good. A lot of people really like that, but not me.
Yeah. No, maybe so, Decaffeinated Hearts.
Just yeah, that'd be the next one. That'd be the follow-up for that. So that's a good story. That's going to be out in October, and it's – I guess now is a good time to order it to your local shop.
Yes, please. Yep.
Is it in the previews? Do you know?
Yep. It was in August previews. I think we're getting into September now, but it'll still be available. I think the FOC, the final order cutoff, is October 3rd for that book.
Okay.
So plenty of time.
So there's time to get involved with that. Yeah. All right. Now, as we said, we've got plenty of other good things to talk about. I think we have at least three more books of yours or three more offerings that are coming out. What's the next one that we should be aware of?
I have another one shot coming out with Source Point Press called Hyperware. That one's coming out a week before Caffeinated Hearts. So it's on sale October 19th. So it's also on pre-order. And that is, again, a one shot that I did with Deborah Lancinese. She's an Italian artist who I worked with on Quicksand, my sci-fi horror miniseries. And this is also a sci-fi suspense mystery that takes place aboard a spaceship in deep space with three astronauts on it who their ship was badly damaged, and they're not going to be able – all three of them can't go into hypersleep for the trip back home. One of them's going to have to stay awake and keep the ship operational. But the problem is they need to decide who's going to be that person. So that's the dilemma that we see in Hyperware. And that was a real interesting thing that the way that it came into existence. Deborah, who I mentioned is Italian, she wanted to enter this contest in Italy to create a comic book to that was the rules of the contest was you create a comic book, and if you win this drawing tablet. And she came to me and said, I need a script and I'll do everything else, Jonathan, and then you could do whatever you want with the comic book. If you give me a script, I'll take care of everything else. So I wrote her the script for Hyperware. She penciled it, inked it, colored it, and lettered it in 30 days. Got it submitted, and then it won. It won in the pro category. Because both of us are published, we had to be in a separate category as others. And so she won that tablet that she wanted, which I thought was great. And then I had this finished one shot, and I submitted it to Source Point Press, and they picked it up.
Wow. So is that it's a one shot, or how many is in that one?
Yeah, it's a one shot as well. 24 page one shot.
Wow. Okay. You're going to get quite the wall of collected comics coming along here.
Man. Yeah. I was thinking maybe there one day I could get like a bind, I'll collect the one shots together. Somehow it'd be a nice little, collection of just different stories in one bound. Who knows?
Now, there's another book that you're involved with. It's a Mad Cave anthology book. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, that'd be great. It's called Lower Your Sights. That one, I don't believe it's on pre-order through Diamond anymore, but you can still get it through Mad Cave's website. That's going to be on sale September 14th. And it's for a great cause. It's raising money and awareness to a charity called Voices of Children, who are providing support to the children in Ukraine right now through giving them means to create art, art supplies and music and things like that. So all the stories in this anthology are about the tragedies of war. You know, it's not Sergeant Rock and, Michael Bay explosions. It's the side of war that, is less entertaining. And I was invited to submit a story. So I have a 6-page story in there with Gabriel Ibarra Nunez, who is the artist on Recount, the first 3 issues of the first volume. And it was a lot of fun to be able to be a part of that anthology in such a great cause and such a good purpose. So I'm shadowed by some of the great people that are in that book too. There's so many great creators and they even got the people from Ukraine to submit artwork to be involved in this anthology. So Lower Your Sights from Mad Cave on sale September 14th. That's what I've been really pushing hard for, because it's good to be a part of something that's not that's all pro bono. I paid for the artwork. I'm not getting anything back but 2 comp copies. It's good to be able to do something with the writing craft that's not all about me, fund my Kickstarter, buy my book.
Yeah, Mad Cave seems to be doing a lot of interesting stuff these days. So they seem to be really good.
Yeah, I wasn't going to pass up the opportunity to also get my foot in the door with that publisher. I always liked the titles that they put out too. So
it's interesting how many people now sell books through so many different publishers.
Yeah,
there are some people I know. This one guy I knew has 5 or 6 books coming out right around now, and they're all from different companies. And there's not 2 of them from the same book. From same place.
Yeah, I mean, so, there's enough. That speaks a lot to the indie side of comic books right now. No one really has that market cornered, in my opinion.
Okay, now there's one more I know of that I already ordered through my local shop, and it's called Dream Master. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yes, so Dream Master is coming out November 30th. It's it's in previews now for September. So it's available to pre-order at your local comic shop and through the publisher Black Box Comics. And that one is about this man who's cursed to be the protector of people while they dream from their nightmares. Because in this world, you actually can be killed in your nightmares, but none of us know it because the Dream Master saves us at night. It's a really cool story that I was actually hired to write. I was approached by Black Box. They already had the concept. So I didn't create the character. I don't own this IP. I was contracted to write for them, and I love it. The artwork is amazing. The artist Luigi Baricelli, another Italian artist, he has this style to him. He creates so much more than what I could hope I could even ask for in the art direction in my script. When you see these 1-page and 2-page splashes that he does, it's this really fantasy, dark fantasy horror themed book. I can't wait for people to pick it up. It's one of the coolest things I've ever got a chance to work on.
Do you know how many pages are in it?
Every issue is 20 pages.
How many issues?
The first arc's gonna be 5, but I already turned in issue 8, and I was asked to at least give them 20 scripts. So yeah, so this is a big deal for me, because you know this is me being asked to write for a publisher, and you know getting paid for it up front. I turn in a script, and I have you know a deposit. It's fantastic. And to know that I have at least 20 scripts and also an offer for another title is on the table too. So we get some more done. So yeah, been really focused on Dream Master, building that world and filling up these two thick spiral bound notebooks filled with information and plots and plans. It's been a good learning experience too, because you know with Capable and Recount and all these other books, I can do whatever I want. You know, I'm not. I'm paying for all of these projects, but when it's someone else's, you know, I give them ideas or scripts and they don't like it, you know, I have to change it, and it's a different position to be in. And I like to think of it as it's a good experience and good learning for, you know, if one day the, you know, the big two might call me up and ask me to write something for them, you know, I'd have to have that experience underneath my belt. So we'll see. But Dream Master, can't wait for people to get their hands on it.
Well, we know for sure that Marvel in particular goes around looking at indie books. Yeah. And I think that's how Matthew Rosenberg got picked up.
Right.
I think other people got picked up. They go through and they find these, they come across stories and stuff like that from writers and artists, and they bring them up to see what they can do for them.
Yeah. That makes sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, you want to see, what somebody can do. You want to see what somebody can do before you can, you give them the wheels to Spider-Man or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you want to be able to get that. So you're doing the wise thing, I think, to get as much out there and hopefully get their attention. And, you know, DC hopefully does the same. Usually Marvel and DC don't do too far apart from each other.
Right, yeah. It doesn't make sense to have to reinvent the wheel.
Well, you can check out what they're already doing and make sense for what you're doing, then I would say, you know, go for it and do those kind of things. So it's always a good thing. Maybe. So have you got other projects that you're working on? This sounds like a lot to keep you busy, but I bet you there's other things you're working on too.
Well, you know, I mentioned Quicksand. I'm wrapping up that one. I've completed all the scripts for that 5-issue miniseries. Pencils and inks are done with that one, and we're just waiting for colors for issue 5. And, you know, I kickstarted the first 3 issues for that one and already turned in the first 4 issues to the publisher that picked it up. So so that'll be interesting when they make that announcement. So I've been super grateful, Wayne, you know, be doing comic books for 3 years, and you know, to have this amount of publishing credit is more than I could have asked for when I wrote that first script so many years back.
Well, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And the good news is you got started and you've kept going, even though my understanding is you're working full time as well as doing this.
Yep. I still have a full time job, 40 hours a week outside of comics. I'm not at a point where I can safely retire from that and just do comic books full time. So, you know, it's a lot of grinding. It's a lot of long days and restless nights.
Yep, I hate to say it, but this is how comic creators start.
Yeah, I try to remind myself when I get to that point, someday I can look back and be like, I put in my dues and feel comfortable then about it.
You got to pay the bills as well as meet the creative parts.
Right, yeah.
So anything else you can mention that you've got in mind, or is that going to keep you busy for now?
I think that'll keep me busy for now. Yeah. I can't think of anything else. We touched on a lot of projects. I appreciate that I got to mention so many of them in one interview. So thank you, Wayne.
Well, I do think so, at some point your name's going to be on a Marvel book in particular.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know if you know who David Popose is. I interviewed him, and I told him I thought he was going to write X-Men. He still hasn't written X-Men yet, but he's on Savage Avengers now.
Right. Yeah, I think he and also has a couple issues of Fantastic Four, and it's just a matter of time for him. I remember reading Spencer and Locke several years ago, and loved that, and I saw his growth on Kickstarter. Yeah, I look up to him. He's proof that it can happen for indie creators.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to read that second volume of Spencer and Locke, it has an amazing ending to it that really shocked the heck out of me.
Yeah, I've been meaning to pick up the second volume.
Yeah, the first one was great, but the second one has a big surprise at the end of that one. And I was very, especially because I'm a fan of Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
And when I read that second volume, I sat there and I thought, I wish I had seen that coming. That was a brilliant twist that he did there. And I've told him that many times that he's got more coming. I'm sure that the comics are going to want from him. So that's a good thing to do. And I feel the same for you. I think you're going to get moving up into Marvel and other good places like that too. I think you're doing the wise thing like he did. He kind of touched around in different companies. Yeah, I think you're doing the same. That's a smart move.
Yeah, cast a wide net, right?
Well, that's the thing. The more you know, I've always said when you go to conventions and stuff like that, is you want to really be developing contacts and getting people who can, when they think of somebody that they need a project done for or done by, then they can come and get to you. And I think that's always an important thing about conventions.
Yep.
Speaking of which, how are you doing as far as the convention circuits?
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll be at DaytonaCon September 10th and 11th. Looking forward to that one. And then the following weekend, I'll be at Ancient City Con, which is in St. Augustine. So I have a few more appearances throughout the year, one in Melbourne, Melbourne's biggest con, Melbourne Toy and Comic Con in October. And I think right after October is when I'll be back in the in-store comic shop signing circuit, because I'll have those Source Point books out. So I've been really pushing my website, jonathanhedrickcomics.com, because I've been updating my signings there, as well as putting new information, trying to there's so much noise across all the social media platforms. If I had one source of truth, that's my website. So now everyone can keep up to date on my signings there.
What about social media?
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So for Instagram and Twitter, it's Jonathan Hedrick, but without the vowels. So if you can spell it that way. Just hit the vowels on your keyboard.
Okay, and once again, it's Capable number 1-5 Modern Superhero Series, and it's all or nothing. The project will be funded if it reaches its goal by Thursday, September 22 at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Thank you.
So, Jonathan, keep up the wonderful stuff. You're doing great books, always a great read, always fun and enjoyable, and lots of surprises along the way, so keep it up.
I appreciate it, Wayne. Thanks for this opportunity.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time when we'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.